You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me is Matt Gannon. Joe, unfortunately, is not with us today. But, Matt, one more sleep, and the regular season is here. I am ecstatic. I'm rocking the Lightning jersey today. How you doing today, my friend?
I am on cloud nine, dude. By the time the listeners get this show, it'll be game day. I'm so excited. And I will admit, just the tiniest bit, part of me was like, heading into the season, I was so encapsulated by the Bucks and football season. It's kind of the first year that I'm following the NFL very closely. So I was like, yeah, I'm pretty excited for the NHL regular season and the Lightning season to start. But then I drafted my fantasy team last night, my fantasy hockey team. And I'm like, oh my God, it's got to start. It's got to be here. So I have that childlike excitement. I'm very excited. I'm super stoked that we're finally darn near here.
It's great. And we've mentioned multiple times on this podcast that it's felt like a long off season because we've been so spoiled for the last couple of years. But I'm ready to go. We've got a lot to talk about today. Don't forget, you're going to want to make sure you subscribe to the channel for your coverage on the Lightning all season long this year, right here on RBLR on YouTube, or follow us on social media at RBLR Sports, at RBLR Lightning. And we got an action-packed episode for you today. We're talking about the rosters, previewing their first game against the Nashville Predators. We'll look ahead too for the rest of the week as well. We've got some roster news to talk about as well, so it should be a really fun episode. And Matt, let's just jump into it. So game number one, obviously, is against the Nashville Predators. The Lightning are kicking off the entire NHL season, so they have an opportunity to score the first goal of the entire NHL season, which is kind of exciting. And they'll be taking on the Nashville Predators at 5:30 p.m. Eastern at home at Amalie Arena. I know some people weren't thrilled with that 5:30 p.m. Eastern start. It is going to be on national television, so be ready for that. Matt, what are your expectations heading into this first game, taking on the Nashville Predators, brand new season, lots of new faces? Just give me your overall expectations for this first game.
Well, again, everybody's excited. Everybody's got the jitters, you know, not only just me, but I'm sure the players are ready to actually play some meaningful games. First game of the season is, you know, it's an important one. At least it's not against a divisional rival or anything, but it's against a geographical rival, if you want to call them that. Expectations, I still keep the bar pretty high. Again, this is the, you know, this is the Tampa Bay Lightning we're talking about. I'm expecting a win, especially against a Nashville team that, you know, is probably going to have a bit of a rough season. Of course, you know, they've got some really good players. I really do like the Predators. I'm not as down on them as some people might be, but when you've got a goalie like UC Saros and an unproven goalie like Jonas Johansson in net, it'll be a bit of a battle. But again, I think the Lightning always play the Preds pretty well. You're at home. I know the last couple of years, the Lightning haven't started great at home, but I don't know. I'm expecting a win. It might not be in convincing fashion, but all I'm hoping for is a good game and good play from everybody. But I'm not expecting a blowout by any means. And I do also want to say, why is the game at 5:30? Like, it's a Tuesday. Like, I get it if it's like a Saturday or a Sunday, maybe even a Friday. But 5:30 on a Tuesday, I don't get it.
It is a weird start time, especially for Tampa. And, you know, you get people just getting off work at that time and there's going to be some traffic. I think it's just partly because the NHL is like, we want three games on opening night, and Tuesday happened to be that, and they wanted the Lightning to be first, which is cool, but almost maybe at this point you're like, give us the primetime game. Give us the 7 o'clock. We don't have to be first for this one. But listen, I'm super excited for the season. I've said this before because I think there's some real potential on this roster. I know a lot of people have us missing the playoffs somehow. I still can't get over that, but I'm excited about Johansson. We've seen him in preseason. He was fantastic. Now it's the real test for him starting the regular season. There's a lot of new faces. We don't know how this roster is going to look. And the Lightning usually have a weird relationship when it comes to opening night games. I mean, you had the one game against the Penguins recently where they got blown out on opening night, and then
that was the banner raising night.
I know, and you've also had other opening nights where they've kind of looked pretty good off the rip. So I don't know which Lightning team we'll get, but that's also the important thing to remember for Lightning fans right here. We have a lot of new faces. It's early in the season, so don't freak out. I think the Lightning are going to come out swinging, and I think they'll have a good start because I really do think that this Lightning team has got some great pieces to it. And I think that's a perfect segue into the opening night roster that just got released today. So for those of you that don't know, you have all your typical starters in Stamkos, Kucherov, Braden Point, Victor Hedman, Sherry, and a lot of the new guys like Tyler Mott and Luke Glendening. But the big question was, you had three guys basically left in ABB, Morella, and Fortier. Fortier and Bogosian were the two that were sent down, and Bogosian surprised a lot of people. We'll get to him in just a minute. But it seems like Morella is the one that got that last opening night roster spot. Him and ABB, both of them are going to be there. There's 13 forwards on the opening night roster, so one of them will be the odd man out. And let's start there with the forward group. Matt, ABB and Morella, both on the opening night roster. Who do you think gets the start against Nashville?
Well, from everything that I've seen from the preseason, it's got to be Morella. And I know last week I was fairly harsh about ABB's game. I said I didn't really like most of what I saw, with a couple good flashes here and there. He did end up shutting me up a bit. You know, I did end up, you know, liking his game. Maybe the ones that I like really paid attention to were just a rough game. Maybe he had stage fright because I was watching the game. I'm very important. He definitely, you know, upped his game, but I don't think he did it enough to warrant stealing a spot from Morella. And another thing that you kind of overshadowed a bit is that there's another guy competing for a spot as well, which is Austin Watson. He was brought in on a PTO, ended up signing a new deal with the Lightning today. So there's a couple of spots to be fought over. I don't have the whole lineup in front of me, or at least a projected lineup, but Watson definitely earned his spot. I don't want to say that ABB is going to be the odd man out again for what is now the third year of him being the odd man out. But again, I do think he did lose the spot to Walteri Merola. He surely did impress.
Yeah, well, and it's important to remember, too, with Vasi cannot go on long-term injured reserve until the season technically starts, which is tomorrow. So I would expect some of these guys to possibly be called back up, like Bogosian, for example. Is Watson on the opening night roster, or is he just signed? I know he was signed to he was signed after his PTO contract for a 1 year. I believe it is $776,000 for 1 year. The cap changes a little bit once Vasi goes on LTIR. I'm with you. I think Morel is the one that's going to start opening night. For what it's worth, he is the one on the cap-friendly projected lines. Now, that always changes, of course. But I wouldn't be surprised either to see all three of those guys kind of get a rotation over the first couple of weeks here for Cooper to really see, okay, regular season, it's go time. Who's the guy that's going to step up and start to gel with the Lightning roster, if you will. I think that could determine a couple things. Obviously, injuries can change things as well. But I know Cooper has talked really well about Morella. Watson's an interesting one to me because it seems like he is just one of those old school enforcer guys that throws the body, is very physical. He's not a huge goal scorer by any means, but he's just a physical kind of guy. And I think that's the reason he made the roster. If he didn't throw the body as much as he did, I don't think he gets signed to a contract, but the Lightning liked to have some of those physical tough guys because they knew, you know, from years ago, that was one of their biggest weaknesses. It's why they've gone and got guys like Tanner Janot, for example, you know, those big Pat Maroon back when before they had him as well. Corey Perry's another one. So they've always signed one of those guys to have him just kind of on the fourth line as a physical presence.
So with Austin Watson, again, he was another guy that I was, you know, before even preseason games started, when we signed him to the PTO, I was like, this doesn't really make any sense. And I, of course, the Josh Archibald contract termination, you know, threw a wrench in that, or at least, you know, took the wrench out of the gears at least, and kind of did free up a spot for a guy like Watson to come in. Because again, they're both, with Archibald and Watson, they're similar-ish players, you know, big fourth line grinders that can lay a hit and punch your face. They do kind of the same job. You know, I'm not trying to say they're neither of them are anything special, but I didn't understand the move at first. He's another guy that, you know, promptly shut me up after seeing what he did in the preseason. He had, I think he finished with one goal, one assist through four games. Do you know how many penalty minutes he ended up having in four games?
Too many to count.
39 across four games. Like,
that's a lot. And they were all fights, I think, too.
Yeah, there were a lot of fights, a lot of misconducts, and or like 10-minute misconducts and such. But he made a presence. He definitely did. But I did check Daily Faceoff, and they don't have Watson or ABB on the projected lines. It did get taken by Valtteri Merola. So we might have a rotating cast to start the season until somebody firmly.
I think that's what we'll see.
And what is the start of the season always about? It's, you know, Cooper always has the blender out. He's seeing what works best. You know, it's the start of the season. And again, a very, you know, mystery box type of season for the Lightning. You don't have your, you know, your world-class best goalie in the world to start the season. A lot of new faces, a lot of champions and great guys are gone. It is a very, very much so a mystery box type of season. So I'm expecting, not a lot of movement in the first couple of weeks, but we're definitely going to see, I would guess, a rotation of those three forwards there.
And it's really that one roster spot. That's the biggest one that'll change. Everybody else, I'm fairly confident, will have a pretty solid spot on the roster, unless, again, they're just not playing well or there's some kind of injury like that. But going from the offense to the defense, Matt, it's basically the defense that we've known and kind of expected heading into this season. The biggest difference is Calvin DeHaan. He is going to be with the Lightning this season. He's the new guy. And then they have Fleury on the back end as kind of that seventh D man that can rotate in or come in for injuries. But really no surprises on the defense. This is the guys that the Lightning are rolling with. I don't think they really have any big D prospects that could make a jump this year. As we saw in the preseason, most of them got sent down kind of early when it came to. But the defense is going to be interesting because I think it's a little bit of a concern from what we saw in the preseason. Now, again, you have to take the preseason with a grain of salt, but the defense wasn't great at times early. So we'll see how this plays out. That could be the biggest question mark for the Lightning moving forward. But this is also, you know, a defense that's trying to get back into the swing of things again, too, especially with Calvin joining the team as well.
Yeah, of course, goaltending is going to be the biggest question mark, no doubt about it. But defense is...
Don't think goaltending is going to be the biggest question mark. I think defense is the biggest question mark.
Is that right? Not that I'm worried about the goaltending, but, you know, I'm curious to see what, you know, Jonas Johansson does to start the season, of course. But that's a big red flag for me, but I'm not stressed. I'm not, you know, pulling my hair out waiting for Vasi to come back again. From what we saw in the preseason, I've been impressed with him. But sun-faded red flag is the defense. I'm not, again, not overly concerned with that either, but there's a lot of question marks that go with that. With Bogosian hitting waivers and clearing that, he'll probably be spending some time in the AHL. It seems like Darren Radish may have taken his spot. He was, you know, it's been complicated with the defense pretty much the last, you know, calendar year. Actually, we've had a bit of a surplus of them, but yeah, Darren Radish, it seemed to have taken his spot. You said Fleury's that seventh guy.
He is on the opening night roster. And that's what's interesting to me, right? Because normally Bogosian was the seventh D-man guy, and he would kind of rotate in sometimes depending on the matchups, or if there was injuries, which there was a lot of last year on the defense, he would play. But it seems like, at least for opening night, Fleury is the one that's on the opening night roster. Now, again, that could also be because of the cap situation, because the Lightning are right up against the cap. And as soon as Vasi goes on LTIR, Bogosian could come up and Fleury could be the eighth D man. We really don't know how that's going to play out just quite yet. But that's something that can also change. But as of right now, the opening night roster, Fleury is the seventh D man.
Okay. Yeah. He was the one that was rotating with Bogo early last season before we called Darren Radish up, and he pretty much had a spot here, you know, not permanently, but he had a spot. But I don't know. I'm, again, not overly concerned with it. I am expecting some bounce back years and some continuation of good years like Nick Perbix. He's a guy that I'm very curious to see if he can follow up his, you know, I'm not going to beat around the bush, pretty darn fantastic year for a no-name rookie. Again, I said his name so many times in such a positive light. Again, dude seemed like he belonged. In preseason, he looked good, wasn't spectacular or anything, but if he's a good middle of the pack defenseman,
that's all you need.
That's great. But I'm the not the biggest question, but another question I have is who's going to be the quarterback on the power play one unit? Is it going to be Victor Hedman or is it going to be Mikhail Sergachev?
Because we saw both in the preseason.
Yeah, during even the same games where they were playing together, one power play it would be Sergachev, one power play would be Hedman. No, you know, even if it was the first unit, air quotes. But that's going to be another, you know, interesting thing to see as the season goes on. Actually, really, as the season starts, I wonder who they're going to go with.
You know, it could be a 1A, 1B type of situation too, right? Like we see with goaltenders for a lot of teams where they both kind of just switch in, like you said, in the same game. Sometimes it's Hedman, sometimes it's Sergachev, and just kind of ride the hot hand. It's another thing that they could do.
It's a great problem to have, you know, if we've got two of the best quarterback power plays in the league, power play quarterbacks in the league, that's a great problem to have.
If Victor Hedman is on your second power play unit, that's a good sign if he's good enough to be on the second power play unit. But yeah, the defense, listen, they've got the pieces. I mean, the Lightning defense was very good when healthy last year. So we'll see how things play out. They do have one of the new faces in Calvin, so we'll see how he does. And then lastly, we go to goaltending. And so obviously that's the biggest change, we'll say, for the Lightning. Andrei Vasilevskiy out for the first 2 months, about 20 games or ish, depending on if he's able to come back sooner or later. But 20 games is the projected timeline for him. And Jonas Johansson, who was originally supposed to be our new backup this year, is now the starter. From the small sample size that we got in the preseason, I thought he looked pretty good, and I'm kind of excited to see what he can do now in the regular season. And then you have Matt Tompkins, who's going to be the backup. And that was pretty much confirmed when we got the news that the Lightning and the Canes, now listen to this, Matt, this is something you don't hear of every day in the NHL, even though it is a totally normal legal move. The Canes are loaning one of their goaltenders. I'm going to butcher his name, but it's Kochetrov.
Peter Kochetkov.
Kochetkov, thank you. Kochetkov, yes. Is going to be loaned to the Syracuse Crunch while Vasilevskiy is injured. Now, keep in mind, the Carolina Hurricanes don't have an AHL team right now. So, you know, from their perspective, their goaltender gets some playing time. It helps out the Lightning because they lost one of their Syracuse players in Tompkins because he had to be thrusted up into the backup role now. And it also says a lot about Tompkins because I think the coaches saw enough from him and said, hey, you know, the goals against wasn't great because our defense wasn't too fantastic in the preseason, but he showed enough to make the Lightning coaches at the very least think that he could be a serviceable backup for the Lightning while Vasilevskiy's hurt.
Yeah, everybody, like, he was a name that all three of us were pretty high on, especially, you know, of course, Johansson with two shutouts, back-to-back shutouts, but Tompkins, for being another air quote no-name guy, he was a guy, if you asked me who Matt Tompkins was, you know, 3 weeks ago, I'd tell you I have no idea. I had no idea he was in the pipeline.
Fun fact, he played back in the Olympics.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. So cool. Do you know which nation? I'm sorry.
For Team Canada.
Oh, Team Canada. Okay. He was a guy that impressed. Again, the goals against were not very good, and I'm not blaming it on the defense. I hate to blame anything on anybody, but you're allowing, you know, 40, 45 plus shots in, you know, two games. That's going to happen. His save
percentage was still good.
Was it? It was probably above 900 if he's, you know.
Oh, it was. It was above, I think it was almost, I have to go look at the exact number, but it was above 900.
And that's all I ask. That's all I ask of a backup. And I know he is a third string goalie at this point. He's going to be playing backup. But all I can ask for really either of these goalies, because again, I'm not setting the bar too high for Jonas Johansson, is a sub 900 or a above 900 save percentage. So if, you know, if the defense can step up when Tompkins is on the ice, hopefully he gets some games and hopefully the team doesn't just, you know, ride Johansson super hard. I'm excited to see what Tompkins can do. I'm more curious. This might not make sense to you, but I'm more curious to see what Jonas Johansson does, and I'm more excited to see what Matt Tompkins can be. I know it's kind of weird how I'm saying it, but
kind of makes sense.
Of course, I'm excited for both. I'm excited for everything that's about to come in the next 24 hours, but I'm very, you know, again, curious and excited about, you know, each of them.
Yeah, well, I share that sentiment with you that it's going to be interesting to see how these guys perform. You know, again, we saw a small sample size in the preseason, and they've got a big task in front of them. To fill Vasilevskiy's shoes, that's darn near impossible. So we'll see how it all plays out. You know, it's going to be exciting to get things going here in on opening night. And, you know, I always find it funny with all these new faces, Matt. You know, they're here new in Tampa. They're picking up all the new Lightning gear, getting ready to go for the season. And I bet we've got some fans at home that need to restock on their Lightning gear for this year. And we've got you covered by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com. And the best part is, for our listeners right here, you can use code BOLTS to get 10% off of your order. And it's not just Lightning gear. We've got Rays, Rowdies, and Bucks inspired merchandise for you to go over there and check out and stock up for the upcoming season for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Links, as always, are in the description. All right, Matt, let's have a little bit of fun as we get set for the season. Let's do some predictions. Let's see where we're at for this upcoming year. Let's start off with just some basic standings prediction. Matt, where do you think the Lightning are going to finish at the end of the regular season this year?
That's a tough one. Again, mystery box type of season, but in the Atlantic, I have them third. I don't know who I have above them. I think it's probably Toronto's division to win, as much as it kills me to say that. I think it's their division to win. They might even be President's Trophy favorites this year. And you know what? They can have that. They can have the President's Trophy. Genuinely, they can. But if we finish third, I'll be happy. As long as we're not in a wild card, especially because if we do finish in third, that was where we finished both of the cup winning seasons, the back-to-back seasons. We were third in the division. So that's where I'm expecting. Not that I'd, of course, we'd love to be the number one seed in our division, but third seed seems about reasonable, especially for this uphill battle we're about to face. That's where I can, you know, realistically see them.
I'm going to agree with you. Third is kind of where I was pegging them at. I wouldn't be shocked to see if the Lightning get the top wild card spot, just because, not because I think the Lightning are worse. I think they're still, I mean, you know, on paper, they're not as good, of course, as last year, but I still think they're a very good team, and they could surprise us and somehow win the division. You know, you never know. But I think that so many teams in the Eastern Conference have just gotten better, and the Eastern Conference has been so not even top heavy. They've been a well-balanced division. I feel like everybody in that Eastern Conference got better. So that's why I would say I wouldn't be surprised for them to finish in the top wild card spot, just especially because of these early games here in the season without Andre Vasilevskiy. But again, as we've learned with the Lightning for the last couple of years, just get in the playoffs, get in the playoffs and be healthy and be ready to go and turn it up. Which they have absolutely done over the last couple of years. That's all you need.
And really the biggest issue to come is, I think a lot of Metro teams have gotten worse. Like, you look at Washington, they're getting old. Pittsburgh, they had kind of an off year last year. I'm expecting a bit of the same. The Flyers, a lot of these Metro teams have, you know, gotten a little worse. A lot of them have gotten better. But the Atlantic teams, there's not a single team in the Atlantic that Boston got worse, but I'd say the seven other teams, I'll say six, I'm not including the Lightning in this, have gotten better. You know, a team that I, you know, secretly like is the Buffalo Sabres. I have them in the playoffs. I genuinely do, especially because I drafted like three of their players last night. But I have them in the playoffs. I think they're going to be a well-oiled machine if they can get things together defensively. But you also look at Ottawa and Detroit. They added. They got good players. Ottawa has been kind of, you know, they've been underperforming the last year, 2 years or so. This they're might young. Be... They are young, but they've got a lot of offensive weapons. Defense and goaltending is still a bit of a question mark for them, but I would still absolutely say they got better. Florida, probably about the same. Boston, they have to come back down to earth for sure, but even if they lose
they lost 40, a couple of big players.
Even if they lose 40 points, they're still in that 90-point range. That's still a playoff spot, so they would have to fall off really hard. They may have just caught lightning in a bottle last year. They might fall off really hard, kind of knocking on wood that they do, but every
it's
single
the
team.
First time I've heard knocking on wood in the reverse sense. And fall off.
But again, most of the teams in the Atlantic Division have gotten better. I hate to say it, even Toronto probably got better. So it will be a dogfight. It'll be worse than a dogfight. It'll be a meat grinder, just getting a playoff spot, being in the Atlantic Division. So again, uphill battle. But again, this is the Lightning. This is the Tampa Bay Lightning. When you've got guys like Cooch and Stamkos, Point, Vasilevsky, eventually, there's no way that they don't finish in some kind of playoff spot.
Well, and speaking of that core, Matt, let's go to this now for our predictions for this season, or what you're kind of seeing with the team. Who do you think on the Lightning is going – let's go with the leading score, so points, leading point score. Who do you think is going to be on top for the Lightning this year? And do you think that player or any really any player could potentially win some awards this year? Because that's always been tough for the Lightning just because – they're so well balanced that often even guys like Kucherov don't get up there in Kucherov's usually up there in the points race because he's just that good. But you know what I'm saying? Most guys usually don't make an impact in those races because they are not top heavy.
Yeah. Like Kucherov is obviously going to be my pick for like the team point leader for next year. Like you'd be stupid to bet against him. If he gets injured, knocking on wood that he doesn't, there we go. We got a positive knock on wood. I have him fully pegged. I put him probably third in the league behind two guys named Connor and Leon. That is some tough competition. I never heard of them either. They're like rookies or something. So I probably put him third in the whole league. Like I'm expecting another, you know, 100 and I'm hoping for 110 plus points. Like, it'd be great That'd to be see great. Him. It'd be great to see him shatter that, you know, 128 record he set in 2019 franchise record. It was the, you know, the modern day league record at the time, but who's counting? So I'd love to see him shatter that. But again, you know, with the way league scoring has just shot up over the last 6 or 7 years, it's entirely possible he does break that. Again, this is Nikita Kucherov we're talking about, but I don't see a trophy for him. A trophy I do see, if he can replicate, you know, what he did last season, Braden Point. I mean, he is just right there reaching for a Rocket Richard. You know, I could see him hitting 60 goals. Again, he had, you know, like everybody else on the Lightning, had a very long offseason. The rest might do him some great work. And he looked pretty good in the preseason, too. He only got into a handful of games, but he scored a couple of goals, I want to say. He's a guy that I could definitely see challenging for the Rocket Richard trophy. I'll also put him in the top three for league-wide goals. So I'll let you butt in here for, you know, in a second. But another – I don't see any Norris trophies, and – the way the Jack Adams Trophy works, the best coach of the year trophy works, it is the biggest overachieving team award. It's not the best coach award. It's the overachiever award. So it is an absolute crime. John Cooper hasn't won it yet. So I'm hoping that he wins it this year. Again, the real best coach in the league award goes to the Stanley Cup winners. So I guess he already has two. If you really want to be like that, I'll be like that. But not that I'm expecting it, but I'm really hoping he deserves a Jack Adams Trophy before he leaves this team. It's a crime he's not got one yet.
Well, he's not leaving this team. We'll say before he retires. Let's put it that way. You know what though, Matt? I'm glad you brought that up because John Cooper does have a little bit of an advantage, I think, at the potential Jack Adams this year, because sometimes something that helps guys out all the time is when their team is drastically injured and has a tough challenge to overcome. The Lightning are without Andre Vasilevsky for the start of the season. So if the Lightning can get off to a hot start and finish really well, maybe that helps out John Cooper for a Jack Adams reward. And he finally gets one that he deserved and should have won, you know, what, yes. 4 years ago at this point.
And for the consecutive next 4 years, like it is crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, it's tough with awards because the Lightning, again, they suffer from, oh, well, they've got all these great players on the team and it's not one individual player, but it's they benefit from all these great players. It's just so frustrating. And the Lightning are very balanced when it comes to goal scoring. They very rarely have a guy up there in the goal scoring race. I would love to see Braden Point replicate another 50 goal season, maybe even higher, like you were saying. I don't know if that'll happen just because the Lightning are so well balanced. No complaints from me. I'd be curious. Hedman is the one guy that I think could win a Norris Trophy just because he tends to have. So the Norris Trophy is, you know, it's supposed to be for the best defenseman, but it kind of turns into the best offensive defenseman for the most part. And Hedman kind of is back and forth. Sometimes he'll put up like 80 points, and then sometimes he'll put up like 50. He's still always a great, one of the best defenders in the NHL, but his points can fluctuate from year to year, especially depending on injury as well, obviously. So if there's anybody that can win the Norris on the Lightning, I would think it would be Hedman. Just because he has that ability to rack up a lot of points. I'm going to move to this of who the best new player is going to be, the best newcomer and potential breakout star. And I've got Connor Sherry. He's the guy that I am very excited about this upcoming season. It's nothing because of what he did in the preseason or anything like that. I just, from what I've seen from him on other teams and his ability to play with guys like Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, he's coming to a team that has a lot of star talent. And usually when he was playing with guys like Sidney Crosby, he put up a lot of points. He was able to help out those other stars a ton because he's a great playmaker. I've got Connor Sherry scoring 40 points this year. More specifically, 20 goals, 20 assists around that range. I think Connor Sherry is going to have a great year. I'm really excited about him. He's my Hagel 2.0 prediction.
I landed on 40 points as well. I was thinking more like 15 and 25. But he definitely might be that kind of guy. He might not be, you know, Brandon Hagel 2.0, but if he's, you know, three quarters of that, man, that's great right there. From the looks of it, he's going to be playing on the second line. And again, what these lines are going to turn into is still a bit of a mystery, but it's not going to be anybody, or it's going to be guys like Steven Stamkos or Anthony Cirelli, even Brandon Hagel, Point and Kucherov are probably the only two locks on that first line. So he's going to be playing with some high caliber players. If he can, you know, it might be Stamkos and Cirelli on that line. I think Sherry's he's a center, right?
I think he plays the wing more because I think when he was in the preseason, he was playing with, it was Sherry, Cirelli, and Isimont, which is not a line that I expected, but they look good in the preseason. So I think that's the line we kind of saw there. But I would love to see him play with guys like Stamkos, Kucherov, or Point.
Yeah, and he's no stranger to playing with world-class talents. Like, he played with some guy named Sidney over in Pittsburgh. He played with some guy named Alexander Ovechkin over in Washington. He's no stranger to generational talents like a Steven Stamkos, or possibly would, you know, be pretty cool too, is maybe he got some first-line time. Maybe he really does impress. I'm setting the bar pretty high right there, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities one bit.
Matt, let me ask you this. Who do you think is going to be the most underrated player on the Lightning? The Lightning, as we've talked about before, always have that one guy that kind of comes out of nowhere and really boosts the team. One year it was Ross Colton. One year it was Nick Perbix. We've always had that guy that just kind of comes out of nowhere and people go, where do the Lightning keep getting these players? Who do you think is going to make other NHL fans say that this year?
Other NHL fans or other Lightning fans? Because they're like, I put those in two different categories. There's definitely underrated, you know, players that Lightning fans kind of underrate.
Let's go with Lightning fans because I know the NHL kind of underrates everybody on the Lightning often because we've got such a good team. But let's go with Lightning fans.
Like, if it was like across the entire NHL, I'd put Braden Point. For whatever reason, he is still so disrespected. A lot of people last year after he hit that 51 goal mark, he was like, everybody was like, that was the quietest 50 goal season. Just for whatever reason, everybody cares about Pastrnak and McDavid and Drysdale, whoever scored 60 goals. So that he's definitely the most underrated player on the Lightning. For, you know, for our team, for a Nick Perbix or a Ross Colton type of player, probably Tyler Mott. Again, guy that I've been super high on. I think he's going to be a guy that a lot of, you know, that Bolts Nation really like. Again, he's been super, is just another honey badger, you know, grindy, speedy type of player. He's not going to wow you, or he might wow you actually, but he's not going to be, you know, at anywhere near that first and second line. But I think for the role that he's going to be given, he's going to kind of, you know, impress and maybe just be an underratedly great signing. We'll find out. But who do you have for your underrated Bolts player?
I'm going with Mikey Isimont. And, you know, ooh, I know a lot of people in the Lightning do, or Lightning fans do like him and appreciate what he's been able to do. But I think just with all the talent that surrounds Isimont, you know, I think he kind of gets put under the radar sometimes because he is such a hard worker. You know, he's a lot like Yanni Gourde, maybe with a little bit less scoring ability, but, you know, just a type of guy that can fly up and down the ice and is always fighting for pucks, as we've seen him do multiple times. So I like Isimont as a potential underrated player.
Jake, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. In fact, it rarely is. But who do you see being the, or if anybody, preferably nobody, but who do you see being the Vlad Namestnikov of last year for this year?
Geez. Well, yeah, I know. I hope nobody had that situation. So this is going to pain me to say, because I was just talking so good about him, and I think he's going to be good. But if I've got to pick a Vlad Namestnikov, I have to go with Johansson, just because he was the one who I think had the best preseason, you know, really stood out and was like, wow, this guy might actually be, you know, starting caliber goaltender. And that's what happened with Namestnikov. Was like, wow, this guy might be a first line player back with us again. So I hope that does not happen. And I don't think it will, but if you're making me pick one, it feels like, you know, I got to go with the guy that did really good in the preseason, which was Johansson. And there's still a little bit of question marks just because of his history, but I don't think that's going to happen.
You said it best. I'm not even going to add anything to it. I'm hoping it's not. Of course, you know, this is going to be an 82-0 season and plus, you know, plus 16 playoff games, 16-0. So that's not going to happen, but I just wanted to pique your curiosity. I want to throw one more player into the underrated conversation. I think it could also be Tanner Janot. I don't know where he's going to end up in the Lions. He might have an opportunity to play second line. He'll maybe second power play or something like that if he does impress. But again, this is a guy that scored 25-ish goals just a few years ago. You know, if you've done it before, it's really hard to lose it. And I'd say from what I saw in the preseason, he's a guy that impresses me too. But even if he does end up being just a third, fourth line face puncher, he's really good at doing that too.
Oh, he's great. He's absolutely great at doing that. I think he could be a candidate for most improved this year just because he had just such a lackluster start. He got injured too when he came over to the Bolts, which didn't help.
A brutal injury too.
Absolutely. And he probably came back a little bit too soon, if we're being honest too, in that situation. But I think he could be a kind of, you know, comeback player of the year type. Well, not comeback player of the year because he's not hurt right now, but you know what I mean. Most improved, what I was saying. I could see Janot doing that. And that would be great because, you know, Lightning, we paid a lot for him, as we talked about on this podcast right here. And we'd love to hear from our listeners at home as well. Let us know at RBLR Sports, at RBLR Lightning. Who are your predictions? Who do you think is going to be the standout player? Who do you think is going to be the scoring leader for the Lightning? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Let us know on social media, and maybe we'll even talk about them on the podcast in future weeks. So, Matt, it's not just the Nashville Predators that the Lightning have coming up as well. Now, looking at the schedule, and this is actually extremely frustrating now that I'm looking at it, but the Lightning actually have a three-day break after their opening night game. It's like, really? You're going to give us Lightning hockey back, and then you're going to make us go off for 3 days and we got to wait again? That's just not right. But they've got the Detroit Red Wings in their second game of the season. And then it's going to be the Ottawa Senators. So those are the three games that we'll have before we are back for another episode here on RBL Lightning. What do you think, Matt, about the upcoming schedule here for the Bolts?
I mean, like I was saying about the Atlantic Division earlier, because that's who the coming week, if we want to throw Buffalo in there, but it'll be after we record next week. It's on the same road trip, but you got three divisional rivals and the Nashville Predators to kick it all off. I was hyping all those those teams up, those Atlantic teams this year. All three of those teams missed the playoffs last year and they got better. Ideally, I'd like to see them go 3-0 by the time we resume. But again, going to keep the bar somewhere relatively medium. Hopefully we come out of it with a winning record. I definitely think we can beat all these teams, but Nashville will be a bit of a grind. I always think we're going to smoke Detroit. I'm going to stand pat on that one.
Tend to be weird games sometimes too.
They are weird games. You remember a couple of years ago we had like Detroit, we were like 19-0 against them in like a certain span of time. Like it was going over like a couple year span or something. But I for these three games, I'll say win Nashville. You know what? I'm not even going to throw a loss there. I'm saying 3-0.
I like it.
Nashville, Detroit, and Ottawa, we're 3-0. Buffalo is going to be the hardest one, but we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks, I guess. So
I'm going to go with 2-1 just because I want 3-0. I want to say 3-0, but Detroit and Ottawa are both kind of younger teams and up and coming that, you know, could make that jump this year. We'll see how things play out for them. And the Lightning do tend to struggle against the Ottawa Senators all the time for whatever reason. So if there's going to be a loss, it'll come with the Ottawa Senators. And by the way, both those games are at 7 p.m. Eastern and they are away games. I just noticed that the Lightning, they changed their website up, the whole NHL did, and they don't have different colored squares for the home and away games, so that's kind of driving me crazy. The home games, it seems like they are outlined in black, but why you just wouldn't make it blue, I don't know, but that's for another day, the story for another day. But listen, hockey is back. We only get three games this week, but it's hockey, so it's going to be exciting. I can't wait for this season and forward to talking about it with you and Joe all season long.
Absolutely. Again, it can't come soon enough, but oh man, why don't we have a three game road trip to start the season? Now that I'm looking at this, it's really bugging me.
Schedule is never nice to the Lightning, it feels like. All right, but that's going to do it for us in this episode, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, don't forget to like and subscribe right here on the YouTube channel so you don't miss out on future episodes. Follow us on social media at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Lightning. We'll talk to you guys in the next one. Go Bolts!
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.